Well, we started with really the problem of Northern Ireland and how mixed marriages affected both communities in Northern Ireland, especially how one community couldn't marry across the other community, and this caused great social stress for many people. Also, the clergy found it very difficult to accommodate one another. So my conclusions were that we needed to have some kind of an easier thing about it. Now, the main problem was that the children of mixed marriage at the time all had to be reared as Roman Catholics. And so I suggested several times that this could be changed. And the clergy were very reluctant to change about it, but eventually change did come about, and it was very much for the better. Frequently I've been asked to attend the Northern Ireland Mixed Marriage Association meetings in Northern Ireland. And that has been a very learning experience. When I went first, you heard stories of all the difficulties of marrying across the divide, especially for people from the lower classes of society. Indeed, it was dangerous to live in certain areas if you were in a mixed marriage. But gradually, as we worked with them, the clergy began to be easier about it, and eventually they allowed children to be reared in either church, so that some of the English theologians now speak about children reared as having double belonging. In a certain sense, they belong to both churches. Not exactly members, but double belonging is what we call it. This is quite an advance, and it's amazing how many clergy find it works very well. It's a help to reconciling both communities.
You mentioned that people involved with mixed marriages might have difficulty living in certain areas. I mean, were there ever cases where people were forced to move out of where they were living?
Oh yes, indeed, that happens. And not only that, but people can be killed in Northern Ireland because they're living in the wrong area, or doing the wrong thing, or following the wrong allegiance, or whatever it is. It's very unfortunate that it would be like that, but that's how life has developed there. When the troubles began in 1910 or so, the Catholic Church made a law now that henceforth you must be married in the Catholic Church, and then your children must be reared as Catholics. So the famous case called Agnes McCann, she married a Catholic, and then some years later people impressed on her that she wasn't properly married, so she left her husband, and this caused huge controversy at the time, public controversy. So it was brought to attention of the clergy and debated in Parliament, and it certainly led to an amount of confrontation. But that's just one example of how the thing can develop, and how injurious or how bad it can be for community relations and so forth.
You mentioned that this woman married a Catholic, so she herself must have been Protestant. Was it often a case that one side was stricter than the other?
Well, let me think of that now. In general, the Catholic Church was very, very strict. It felt that this was the way to safeguard the purity of religion, ethnic purity, you'd almost call it. Generally speaking, the Protestants weren't quite as strict on the promise. They didn't have a corresponding promise, which we had. On the other hand, they had their own way of controlling the situation, and it's certainly one of the sad stories of Irish history that religion like that could be used so effectively to keep the communities apart.
Do you think things are changing now?
Well, yes, as I said, things are changing. Like, the last time I was up, the number of people interested in establishing interdenominational schools was extraordinary. As I said, the change can be measured when you see some of those who are reared with the double belonging now able to regard themselves as, in a certain sense, belonging to both religions.